Okay, we're back. Hour number three. I'm Jeff Rentz with John Bedini tonight, and a tribute to Nathan, the man himself. Why isn't Stubblefield known? I just, it's hard to imagine. I know why, but why?
It's just been lost, yeah.
It has been.
Yeah, most of this stuff gets...
The sands of time.
Yeah, it gets buried and people forget. But we're not going to forget this time. I mean...
No, we aren't.
Well, we're coming to the point to where we have to make this stuff work. We have to open our minds for this. This is a whole new, you know, area to explore, Jeff. Look at fuel. $3.50 a gallon.
Going to five?
Yeah, going to five. I think six, but...
Well, whatever.
Yeah.
You don't count after three.
You know, you get a notice in the mail that your natural gas is going up 71%.
Right. How long can they keep raping the public like this before people sooner or later figure it out?
Tom Bierdenhoff says to me, Jeff, he says, the ones with the goal do the ruling.
Yeah.
That's and true. So, I mean, they can do whatever they have to do to bust the economy. That's the way I see it.
And they will.
And they're doing it.
Yeah.
You know, it's just incredible with the technology that we possess today that they just want to make weapons and more weapons. It's incredible.
And kill more and more.
Well, kill more and more people and, you know, give you more and more drugs over the counter. You know, that they give you one disease, and the next time they turn around, they got a cure for it. And it costs you like $71 a pill.
Yep.
You know, so it just keeps going on and on and on, Joe. But we've got to do it this time. And, you know, part of my work, if I might just direct you just for a second to this link for those that want to see the project. You go to HTTP. www.icehouse.net /John34/Krohn KRON .html.
Okay, it's the same URL after John34. It's just /Krohn KRON .html. It's the
right,
same link from John's name.
Yeah, type that in there, and you can see the SG project and what we're building.
Okay.
And how it's built. And that was done for the Yahoo group.
It's
you
like
see those big energizers sitting there.
Yeah.
And that's where we're progressing with
Bank of 16, looks like deep cycle 12-volt batteries.
Oh, yeah.
And this is
underneath there.
Yeah.
But more amazing than that, Jeff, is there's... out in the outer shop, there are 320 pound cells at 1600 amp hours each.
Huh.
Which you can draw 210 amps for 8 hours from each cell.
That's a huge amount of amperage.
Well, it's 30 some kW. You know, we can do that for 8 hours with this machine and recharge it.
Recharging from what?
See the SG project, see this big energizer up here with the radial coils all the way around it?
Yeah.
That is nothing more than an advanced schoolgirl motor, which was put on KeyLeNet years ago. And what that does is run from one battery bank and charge the other one. In other words, we draw the power off and then we just keep the one battery bank stationary.
Mm-hmm.
And then we go ahead and recharge the batteries with this machine, and then we draw another 8 hours worth of power. And then when we get down so low on the one battery bank, we just flip the machine backwards, and it goes and back and recharge the other bank.
So what is powering this charge unit?
Well, it can either be the golf cart batteries, or it could be those 1600 amp hour batteries.
I see.
You know, it's kind of, this is set up in our lab. And on the other side of this wall, where you see these two machines with the golf cart batteries, I'll send you some pictures so you can post if you want.
Yeah.
In fact, I'll send you some of the stuff that even goes on the link there. And so we wanted to show how you build the machine to the group. So we put up all these pictures.
Wow.
You know, it showed us machining the rotor. And because I have to be electrical guy, Jeff, machinist.
Oh, I know.
Plastic cutter. There's nobody to do this work, Jeff.
No. Never has been. You've always done your own work.
I've always done this. Not like anything new for me. But I, you know, it's just, it's something that I had to do, that I had to get out there so that I could get people experimenting with, because they're going to need to do this.
That's amazing.
You know, and so I had to show over 375 people on this group, you know, and believe me, Jeff, they're making stuff. They're starting to learn this. So it's been sort of a an incredible 2 years for me. You know, and then we were also funded to build a specialized charger that's we're going to release to the golf cart industry, and it draws, you know, like one-third less from the wall, because we didn't want to do anything unconventional. We just didn't want to get looked at. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
And it draws one-third less from the wall and does the same amount of charging that that's something that's drawn, you know, 1.5 kilowatts from the wall. So there are ways to do this, to get around all this, Jeff, to become more efficient than what we are. Even though I'm a patriotic American, I know that's a bad word, right? But,
well,
but
didn't used to be.
Yeah. But I do feel that we as Americans should start to learn how to conserve energy just a little bit more. Very important thing coming in the future.
Yeah, I do. The future is now.
Well, right. And, you know, I often say to my wife, I says, Rhonda, what would you do without the hairdryer? It doesn't go over too big, Jeff.
I need a new writer.
But I do say it. You know, because...
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
People don't think. The people in New Orleans found out real fast.
Well, you know, if I would have been told inside me to go there and help, that's what I would have done.
Right. I know you would have. So would a lot of folks listening.
You know, and those people got a bum rap there, you know, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, they were sacrifices.
Yes, they were. You know, and it could be what Bearden's talking about, you know, the coming weather wars. Scalar weather wars.
Well, we're getting more and more chatter that that levee break was very suspicious.
Well, it was. I mean, you know, I came to that conclusion myself, Jeff, that something went wrong there.
Right.
And, of course, I won't go into it on here, but you know what I'm talking
about.
Sure,
I do.
And, I mean, there are, you know, I'm praying every night that the American people wake up. You know, the sleeping lion should wake up and take care of their country. That's how I feel about it.
We are on the same page.
You know, it's like I said to Peter and Gary and everybody at the shop, I said, if I was called to help, I would do it. But only for the betterment, not for war. I would go out of my way to do it.
True scientist.
Well, that's just in me, Jeff.
Right.
You know, I have to be absolutely honest with the people that energy is something that, you know, should not be taken granted. You shouldn't take it for granted.
Well, the strangulation eventually will cease. They've got us, but it can't last much longer. Technology and people like you, of geniuses like you, are working on this, and somebody's going to figure it out. Somebody will figure a way to do it, and these things one day they'll be available in Walmart one day.
Yeah.
Something lower on the internet, people start sinking rods in their backyard, charging up their own battery banks.
Well, this running is why DC. It was so, you know, Jeff, this is why it was so important to do this SG project with the Yahoo group. Because we're going to get it, Jeff, sooner or later.
Well, I know you will. Hang on, John, we'll be right back.
All right.
And we'll talk a little bit more about Nathan Stubblefield and maybe a little bit about Royal Raymond Rife as we continue right on the other side of this break. With John Bedini. Anything else you want to mention about Mr. Stubblefield?
Yeah, we want to go back to the start page on Stubblefield.
Okay, if you join us,
we want to go to the top.
Click on John's name and go right up to the top.
Right, and then what we want to do is we just want to go down a little bit on the page, and there's another little purple.
On the left.
It says Meucci Hearing Through Wires.
Got it. M-E-U-C-C-I. Meucci.
Yeah, Hearing Through Wires.
Hearing Through Wires. Okay, click on that.
And if we go down here, there's a picture of him. And let me tell you something about him. He probably had a telephone before Stubblefield.
Hmm. Yeah, I read this earlier. It's amazing.
Right. And the thing about this, Jeff, is that he had a sick wife, so he had to have communications with her. And so he developed this stuff, and if you move down the page to basically the stuff that's in, you go down past his drawing where it shows his wires. That's about halfway down the page.
Okay. Teletrofono, it says.
Yeah. Telefrono. Yeah, right.
Okay.
And it says right there, Meucci methodically explored different means for vibrating electric current with speech from 1850 to 1862.
Huh.
He developed over 30 different models with 12 distant variations. His first models utilized vibrating copper loop principle, which he discovered in Havana. All right, but if you go down a little bit more, and it shows a picture of his stuff, the thing about Meucci was that if you go down about one, two, just after the last picture, one, two, three, four, five, you'll see he also had earth batteries.
Earth batteries are intriguing because they seem never to corrode in proportion to the amount of electrical power which they generate. In fact, they scarcely corrode at all. Exhumed earth batteries showed minimal corrosion. A mysterious self-regenerative action takes place in these batteries, a phenomenon worthy of modern study indeed.
Now, if you go down to the next paragraph and read that one, you're going to find out what he did do.
Like Thomas Edison after him, Meucci was a master of practical chemistry. Numerous of his processes remain unused to this day. He developed strange chemical coatings using salt water, graphite, soapstone, wax, muriatic acid, asbestos, sulfur, and various bonding resins to treat wire conductors. Wire lines, specially treated by Meucci, had current rectifying abilities. These absorbed and directed both terrestrial and aerial electricity into the line.
Right.
A one-way charge valve. Technically, what he created is a large surface area diode.
Moray.
Wow.
See how it ties in?
Yeah. When these specifically coated, what is it, 1850 now?
Yeah.
When these specifically coated wires were elevated, Meucci enhanced the absorption of atmospheric electricity into his system. Prevented from escape by chemical coatings, a steady stream of aerial charges from the air were absorbed into the wire line. He succeeded in powerfully operating his system with aerial electricity all alone.
Right.
By itself. Meucci now freely used aerial and earth electricity to power his telephonic system. He called a teletrophonic system.
Yeah,
in addition,
right.
He discovered that the latent power in strong permanent magnets, these are just regular permanent magnets, could amplify speech with very great power.
Mm-hmm.
When coupled with energy derived from the ground, Meucci found that true amplifications could be effected. Meucci found that vocal force being sufficiently powerful to produce amplified reproductions at great distances in certain of his models, which utilized magnetite flour.
Yeah.
I assume powdered magnetite.
Yeah. There
amazing.
You have it.
Yeah, this is 1850, 1865.
Right. I mean, where are we at today?
Yeah.
You know, but let's move on now to a few of your questions about Rife that you had.
All right. We got a break coming up here. Let's wrap this up and urge all of you who are students, especially in the sciences, take a look, take a good read here. And if you have a teacher who's not a complete dunderhead, go in and talk to him and say, hey, could we possibly work this in? Some of you high school science students,
yeah.
This is a perfect thing for the class. Perfect.
Exactly.
Go out and do it. See if you can stimulate some new thought in your level. I had a high school girl came in the other day just talking about something. I was in a store, and she said she's a senior in high school and had taken a class, what was it called? Oh, it was called Health Education. It's a required class for all kids.
Right.
And she brought up the issue that mad cow disease was likely a problem in the United States because the USDA was only testing 20,000 out of 32 million cattle. And her teacher laughed at her, mocked her in class, got the whole rest of the class to laugh at her, and the teacher said, the internet lies.
Right.
This is what you young people are up against. Think about it. Okay, be right back with John, and we'll talk about Royal Raymond Rife, the greatest medical scientific genius, perhaps of all time, next. Raymond Rife. For those of you longtime listeners, you know I've been talking about Rife for 12 years now, actually, and John has been on over those 12 years a number of occasions, and we've talked about his work with the Rife Universal Microscope, one of the most amazing accomplishments of the last century, without question. And for those of you who don't know much about Rife, R-I-F-E, please go to Rentz.com, use my search engine, and just type in Royal Rife, R-I-F-E, and start reading. It's that simple. There's quite a bit written about him now. He was, without question, a giant of our time, of all time. And tell us, John, your work with the Rife Universal Microscope and what you thought. And you'll hear John mention the name John Crane. John Crane met Rife in the late 40s, early 50s, more or less befriended him and became a partner with him.
Yeah.
And they brought out a Rife unit in the mid-50s, a vacuum tube unit in California to treat breast cancer, and it was so successful, of course, the state authorities quashed it almost immediately.
Anyway, oh, yeah, immediately.
Crane and Rife held forth together until Rife died in 1971. Crane inherited almost all of Royal Rife's possessions. I remember once talking to John on the telephone about these things, and someone I knew had gone to see him as well and asked him where were Dr. Rife's pieces of equipment, where were his instruments, where were all of his artifacts. And they were out in the garage, just
yeah,
junk
were.
Everywhere. And this guy said, Crane said, well, they're all around you.
Yeah.
Some of it was outside in the rain, just sitting outside.
Well, yeah. You know, since that time, though, Jeff, that really good papers have surfaced. I just sent you one by email.
Ah.
And the most important page to you would be page number 9 on that PDF.
Okay.
And this is just a very small example of why most of the machines out there, there's quite a few that work very well. But, you know, in working with this microscope, let me just explain a little bit to this microscope. This thing stood about, oh, I'd say 2.5 to 3 feet tall. And it was precisely machined and inscribed on the front of this microscope. I can, you know, visualize this right now, today. This thing was beautiful. This was probably weighed about maybe 200 or 300 pounds.
Wow. How many pieces?
Over 2,000 or 3,000 different.
Yeah, there were close to 5,000.
Yeah, just
by
from
some
my
counts.
Memory of what.
Yeah.
See, Crane had it disassembled when we first went to see him in Point Loma, I guess there.
Uh-huh.
And he took us into this sort of like a root cellar basement. And I remember seeing there were two or three different microscopes there. And I said, okay, where's the machine and where's the microscope? Because, I mean, that's just the way I was, you know. And I talked to him, you know, several times on the phone before I made the trip there. And he says, well, it's here. And so I went, and I went out to the root cellar, and sure enough, there was the virus number 3. And Dr. Strecker was involved with us, who was in our whole group when we were doing this. And Strecker, you know, we had regular laboratory microscopes there that Strecker was growing viruses and things like that, and then we were going to take the machine that Crane had.
Right.
And see, zap them and see if you could kill them. And I had about, oh, I'd say maybe 36 to 40 doctors in the lab at the time, along with Tom Bearden. And we had developed this pump wave frequency instrument, which was, you know, had to do with scalar interferometry.
Mm-hmm.
And I put the, we had grown this African sleeping sickness, I'll never forget this, underneath the microscope, and bang, I hit it with this machine, and you could actually see this stuff just go bang, just just like that.
Were you able to, now what microscope were you using?
Well, we're using just a regular college laboratory microscope.
Okay. This is a bacteria.
Using a liquid slide.
This is a bacteria.
Yeah.
Right.
We were using a liquid slide. And, of course, the little small silver wires, you know, were at the end of the slide, and we hit it once with this pulse. And you could actually see this stuff moving around, and then bang, just fried, gone. Broken to millions of pieces. And all the doctors got to view this, and you know what the outcome was, Jeff? That don't work.
So, but
to make the long story short, we got the microscope there, and we were rebuilding the microscope. See, and our whole group really didn't know that John Crane had sold this microscope three times.
All before you.
Oh, yeah. And here, the thing didn't even belong to us.
And got it back three times.
Yeah, got it back three times, sold it three times. And so we were rebuilding the prism structure to this, and I actually just got to look through it once. And did get to see something underneath it. And bang, a court order showed up. And they actually took this big microscope, Jeff, and threw it in the back of a big Lincoln Continental and drove off.
Where did they take it from? Your lab?
Oh, yeah, they took it from Stillmar. And he had sold it to Barry Lyons. And Barry Lyons got a court order. And bang, it was gone.
Well, no one's ever gotten it to work.
Well, after that, I think Barry Lyons gave it to Marcel Vogel. And Marcel Vogel, of course, looked at it and said, it's not going to work this way, which it would have. And he redesigned the whole microscope. Now, after that, Jeff, I can't exactly tell you what happened to this microscope.
How do you redesign something? All that was wrong with it were there were crystals missing, correct? I mean, quartz
prisms? Well, we had bought the prism and built holders and put them back in there.
Oh.
Okay, now Crane knew exactly how to do this.
What was he playing? Just trying to milk it for money by selling
it
over and over again?
Well, I guess so. You know, but you can see where it got. You know, this was a fantastic technology.
Well, for those of you wondering what we're talking about, I do hope you'll just go to my site, Search Engine, search my site for Rife, R-I-F-E.
Now, that paper that I gave you, Jeff?
Yeah.
Those are the true frequencies on page 9.
Okay, good. I'll take a look. Hang on. We'll be right back with John Bedini. Okay, and welcome back. In a nutshell, all Royal Raymond Rife did in the late 20s, early 30s was discover and identify the exact atomic resonant frequencies which held molecules, molecular organisms, virus, bacteria together, and found out also that when these viruses and bacteria were exposed to their own peculiar signature resonant energy frequency.
Yeah, mortal oscillatory rate.
MOR, mortal oscillatory rate. They would absorb their own energy, their own like frequency, until they actually fell apart. Didn't harm any surrounding tissue, cells, nothing. And he was able to find the way to kill with radio frequencies the organisms which caused over 50 major and often fatal illnesses.
And you know what's funny about this, Jeff? They're all in the AM band.
That is amazing.
Well, let me tell you what happened here. Hoyland measured Rife's machine. This is all surfaced because the notes finally made their way out of the dark closet.
Hoyland, where were these documents all?
Well, these were all held by different people, and this guy actually put them all together and put them in this PDF.
Huh.
You know, right down from the court trial, okay? And the funny thing about what happened here was Rife had this crude transmitter that was working, and it had two frequencies. And so when the frequencies were put together, right, the one specific frequency, and Peter and I did these experiments, Jeff, with two different oscillators, and guess what? It comes out to be right.
Hmm.
And if you look at page 9, the real frequencies, Hoyland hid these real frequencies by making the AZ-58 machine.
Hoyland is the one...
He was the engineer.
...that was induced by the AMA and the government to go against Rife and actually started the ruination
Like if you take cancer, right, the real frequency for that was 1.604 megahertz. That's like at the top of the AM band.
Huh.
But Hoyland said, if you read this document, that if I just put the machine out with these frequencies, they'll steal it. So he hit it by causing two frequencies in a carrier wave to go together. He actually did have the correct frequencies here, and they pointed out in this paper.
But Rife certainly knew the frequencies, and...
Well, Rife didn't know. Rife only knew that if he mixed these two frequencies together, the cancer virus went pop underneath his microscope.
So he added 2 plus 3 and came up with 5.
Yeah, see, Hoyland hid this from Rife.
Oh, man, what an amazing...
Oh, what comes out of all this, Jeff, is just amazing.
So, all right, the Rife frequency instrument that I think is as good as there has ever been available to the public, of course,
mm-hmm.
is at the top of my homepage.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be called the Biotech 2000. It's,
right.
It's called
BCX. Well, I think this guy could use this.
Yeah, and the plasma ray tubes with the noble gases are very important.
Yeah.
But this... Okay, 417, that 1 million...
Yeah, look, they're not anywhere. Oh. See, Crane took numbers off. And this guy explains this in the whole paper.
Oh.
Because they actually, I mean, probably one of the best sites to go look at is Stan Truman, Rife.org.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'll find all this stuff.
How do these then reduce down to Hertz frequencies?
Because what Hoyland did, see, Rife's original machine, let me explain something to you. If you take two frequencies with an audio oscillator and you sum them together,
mm-hmm.
and you put one amplitude on one, and then you start to change the other amplitude, you can watch the frequency change in front of you on a frequency counter.
Okay.
So you can go, if you have, say, 1 kilohertz, right, and then you put 500 cycles there and you start to bring up the 500 cycles, you can watch the 1 kilohertz go to 2 kilohertz, 3 kilohertz, 4 kilohertz, 5 kilohertz, and so on and so on. You see?
Mm-hmm.
So what Hoyland did was he built a machine with a certain wave carrier and what he called an MWO oscillator, which was nothing but, and then by varying the amplitude of the audio wave going into it, it changed the frequency on the machine, which came out to be, where it says there, cancer, 1604, see?
Mm-hmm.
Or if he was going to gonorrhea, why it came out to be 233,000. See, these are all in the AM band. There's nothing in the megahertz band.
Hmm.
See, 1.604 megacycles is like at the very top of the AM band.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what I did was I experimented with this for a while, and what I did was I had crystals cut for these frequencies. Now, I'm going to tell you, if you do this, that each crystal's about $50 to $100.
Huh.
All right? And what I did was I built a simple little one-tube oscillator, and I just got two paddles, and I just put the machine on me. That's what I do.
Mm-hmm.
And, but this is only after all the correct information surfaced. I mean, all this guy's been asking Crane this forever. You know, gee, John, where's the real note? If you look at Rife's real original note, you'll see there's two frequencies there. And when he heterodyned them and set one at each level, he actually came out with the frequencies that you see on page 9 here. Hoyland knew that because Hoyland measured them. But if you read through this thing, you'll find out in the court trial how Hoyland said, well, I have to hide them or somebody will steal the machine. I mean, here you got millions of people dying of this disease, right, Joe?
Yeah.
And this guy's worried about hiding something.
Well, the antithesis of Rife.
Yeah.
Amazing.
And Rife was just dumbfounded, you know, in the trial.
I would imagine.
Yeah, he was dumbfounded. He said, I didn't know.
Well, he trusted this guy.
Yeah, this guy knew exactly because Hoyland went back into his lab. You know, there's notes that indicate that, papers that indicate this, that Hoyland actually went back into his lab and Rife would put the stuff under the microscope and Hoyland would run the machine and he could see it go.
Wow.
So Hoyland knew all along. And then, of course, Vern Thompson came along.
What a treacherous...
Yeah. Vern Thompson came along and he built, you know, the AZ-58. Based on Hoyland's design, because Vern Thompson used to calibrate Dr. Milbanks Johnson's machine. I mean, these doctors really did have it, Jeff.
Well, for those of you who don't know what we're talking about, do some research. It is the biggest
story.
Well, it's the biggest medical story of the last century.
Right.
Easy.
And all along, Jeff, what's surprising to me is the elite have had this.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's why they live to be 80 and 90.
I know.
When's the last time you saw... When did you see a president with cancer?
Huh? Well, I saw Bob Dole. I just watched my dad die of it. He wouldn't use it.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, I watched the poor man suffer. And he wouldn't do it.
Well, this is all... When did this come out, this particular PDF?
Oh, this is... been out for about, I guess, about almost a year.
Yeah, you sent me translations.
I used to send you translations of frequencies that, you know, were broken down when we had this group that was going.
Yeah, yeah.
But then all of a sudden,
Got new frequencies here.
Well, I run across these papers, and I start experimenting with this stuff, and I figure out a way to do it with a one-tube circuit. Which I'm more than willing to share with your friend because I don't want to do it. You know, I don't want to make anything. It's
you never do, my friend. You never do.
Well, I mean, I'm an R&D guy, Jeff. I like to do it and get rid of it.
Well, see here. Okay, here again. A lot of these instruments out there that are good work some of the time. Okay, they some of the time they work. But this is fascinating. Now they should work almost all the time.
Well, yeah. I mean, if people would just pick up and do a little bit of research on this stuff, can you imagine? They'll all work.
Well, you can, especially with the programmable instruments. You want to get one that's programmable so you can punch in your own frequency desires.
Hey, you got a great machine.
Well, I think it's the best. It's at the
top. Yeah, you got a great machine. I took a couple of treatments on that machine, and I felt great.
Yeah. It's at the top of Rentz.com under New Earth. Look for Rife frequency instruments. It's a research instrument only. If you're sick, go see your doctor.
Yeah. That's
if you want to do your own research, you can have at it.
But I mean, you know, this paper is very important, Jeff.
Thanks for sending it to me. This is great.
Well, if you read about it, it's just like a bizarre story.
I just read some of the transcript from the trial.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
This all actually went on, Jeff.
Yeah,
it's amazing, isn't it?
How they derailed this whole thing.
See, if you go a little bit further than this, you find out Crane just drops off a few numbers. Like, take the zeros away and you got 417, 770.
Well, that's what he called 770 is one of the most famous right frequencies of all, but that's not it, right?
Right, it's at the low end of the AM band. You see? 770 kilocycles.
That wouldn't be hertz.
Yeah, well, hertz.
Okay, so that is a correct frequency.
Yeah.
770. That's why 770 is so universally... Yeah. There's 720.
Yeah, you can see them there. The crane just dropped off the zeros.
Amazing. John, thanks for the visit. It's, hey, as always, been
fascinating. I was glad to help.
Well, you've been always a gentleman, a great American, and I thank you. We'll talk again.
Thank you very much, Jeff.
Okay, John.
All right, bye-bye.
Good night. Scientist, capital S, scientist, John Bedini. And we will pause for 21 hours and be right back tomorrow. See ya.